Welcome to Next Day Prep, what we are watching tomorrow. So mixed signals today, huh? Markets all over the place.
Yeah, real head scratcher. Dow and S&P eking out gains, NASDAQ lagging, classic tug of war.
Right? Like that underlying tension, you know? Expecting a pullback after the S&P's May run, but nothing yet. Still holding strong.
That resilience is a story in itself. Almost becomes its own catalyst. Plus, yields dropping definitely help the mood. 10-year down, 7 basis points. 2-year, 8. That's got to be the PPI talking.
PPI, retail sales, jobless claims, data soup today. Anything really jump out besides PPI?
Retail sales a tad soft, actually. Up just 0.1%, below expectations. Maybe that tariff front-running in March stole some thunder from April? Consumers getting cautious.
Makes sense. Liberation Day hangover, maybe? Remember all that market volatility?
Could be. Jobless claims holding steady, though. Labor market's still a bright spot, which should prop up spending, even if it's a bit slower.
But manufacturing? Not so hot. Empire State and Philly Fed indexes both pointing to contraction.
Yeah, that's a soft spot. Industrial production flatlining too. Tariff uncertainty probably playing a role there. Wholesalers eating some of the cost, apparently. Good for the consumer, but ouch for earnings.
Speaking of earnings, Walmart beat expectations, but that guidance, conservative, to say the least.
Super conservative. And that warning about higher prices, not exactly music to investors' ears. Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. It all comes back to that, doesn't it?
Seems like it. And United Health, yikes. That DOJ investigation, even if it's just a rumor, is a big overhang.
Definitely. Mega cap weakness weighing on the NASDAQ. So yeah, mixed bag, a lot to digest. What are we watching tomorrow then? More data, I presume?
So lots to unpack from today's market action. A bit of a mixed bag, wouldn't you say?
Definitely mixed. European markets up, Asia down, and then there's Dick's Sporting Goods taking a major dive after announcing the Foot Locker acquisition.
Yeah, that DKS drop was pretty dramatic. 14%? Ouch. While Foot Locker FL is soaring. Classic acquisition play, right?
Textbook. But that 87% premium DKS paid? The market's clearly questioning that. Investors seem to think they overpaid, big time.
Makes you wonder. I mean, DKS had a solid Q1, positive comps, while Foot Locker, well, not so much. Negative comps, downside guidance, struggling, basically.
Struggling is putting it mildly. Revenue declines for, what was it, 9 of the past 11 quarters. DKS is betting big on a turnaround, but is it wishful thinking?
Maybe. They're talking synergies, cost savings, cross-selling, the usual. But integrating over 2,000 stores globally, that's a massive undertaking. And the potential for cannibalization, can't ignore that.
Absolutely. Plus that multiple, 6.1 times adjusted EBITDA, even if it sounds reasonable on the surface, given FL's recent performance, it's a gamble.
A big one. And the funding? Potentially issuing more stock? That's diluting existing shareholders. No wonder the market reacted negatively.
Exactly. So looking ahead to tomorrow, we've got housing starts, building permits, import-export prices, consumer sentiment, and TIC flows. Anything in particular you're watching?
So, Foot Locker and Dick's Sporting Goods. Quite the story developing there, huh?
Yeah, a real market shakeup. DKS acquiring FL, bold move. Investors seem, well, let's just say they're not thrilled.
14% drop for DKS. And FL, up, up, and away. Almost seems like a classic case of buy the rumor, sell the news, but this is more than just rumors, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a major acquisition. And that massive premium DKS paid? 87%? The market's screaming overpaid.
Yeah, I mean, look at their respective Q1 performances. Solid positive comps. FL, negative comps, downside guidance, struggling, makes you wonder, right?
Wonder if DKS is seeing something everyone else is missing, or if they're just, well, overly optimistic. Hoping for a turnaround, banking on synergies, the usual acquisition spiel.
Synergies, cost savings, cross-selling opportunities, they're all in the press release. But integrating over 2,000 stores globally, that's a Herculean task, even for a seasoned retailer like DKS. And the potential for cannibalization, can't ignore that.
No, definitely not. Plus that multiple 6.1 times adjusted EBITDA, given FL's recent struggles, it's a gamble. A big gamble.
And then there's the funding. Potentially issuing more stock? Dilution alert. No wonder investors are heading for the exits.
Precisely. So while the strategic fit might be there, footwear expansion and all that, the execution risks are huge. Disrupting a business that's already performing well? it's a risky proposition to say the least. DKS has its work cut out for it.
Wow, lots of news today. Everything from vaccine frameworks to digital trade wars brewing. Where do we even begin?
Well, the Banco de México rate cut definitely caught my eye. 50 basis points? That's a significant move. Signals they're more concerned about growth than inflation, perhaps?
Yeah, interesting. And then there's Trump, racking up commercial deals with the UAE. Over $200 billion? Big numbers being thrown around.
Definitely. And speaking of big numbers, that 10x Genomics settlement with Bruker, $68 million. That's a pretty substantial payout, even spread out over several quarters. Resolves a big headache for TXG, though.
For sure. Removes some uncertainty. And on the healthcare front, Absolera getting the green light for its phase one trial. Always good to see progress in that space.
Absolutely. But then you've got Amazon, reportedly cutting jobs in its devices and services unit. A bit of a surprise, given their dominance in that area. What's the story there?
Yeah, I'm curious about that too. Cost cutting? Shifting priorities? We'll have to see. And speaking of tech giants, Apple in the spotlight again. Trump apparently wants them to halt iPhone production shifts to India. More trade war tensions?
Seems like it. And Arm Holdings developing its own server CPU? That's a bold move, potentially stepping on its customers' toes. Could be interesting to watch how that plays out.
Definitely. Lots of moving parts in the tech world. And then there's the financial sector, with a flurry of April card metrics coming out. Anything stand out there?
Not at a glance. Just the usual monthly updates. But that Chubb dividend increase and share buyback program? That's a positive sign. Returning value to shareholders.
Yeah, good to see. And Cisco getting a new CFO. Heron retiring, Patterson stepping in. Smooth transition, hopefully.
We'll see. Any C-suite change has the potential for disruption. But on a more positive note, Coca-Cola consolidated investing $90 million in a new facility. That's a vote of confidence in their business.
Wow, so much happening today. Where do we even start with this news deluge? FDA approvals, executive shuffles, legal battles. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, definitely a busy day. That FDA approval for Zynyz is big news for anal cancer treatment. A new first-line option is always welcome.
Absolutely. And on the legal front, that Regeneron win against Amgen? Big implications for the pharma industry. Bundling schemes under scrutiny. Fascinating stuff.
Definitely sets a precedent. Speaking of big pharma, Merck scoring another FDA approval with Welireg, expanding their treatment options for rare tumors. Good to see progress there.
Yeah, definitely. And Mesoblast getting that orphan drug exclusivity for Ryoncil, that's a significant win for them. 7 years is a long time.
For sure. Provides a nice runway. But then you've got Meta apparently pumping the brakes on their AI model rollout. What's the story there, I wonder?
Interesting. Maybe they're seeing something we're not, or just being cautious. Who knows with these tech giants? But speaking of tech, that Thomas Bravo stake sale in NASDAQ, big money moving around.
Yeah, always interesting to see those insider moves. And Cisco getting an upgrade from Wells Fargo? Target price of $75? Bullish.
Definitely a vote of confidence. And then there's Rocket Lab, snagging that NASA launch contract for the Aspera mission. Cool stuff. Exploring the universe and how it all works. Gets me every time.
Me too. Always exciting to see space exploration advancements. But back down to Earth, Starbucks looking to revamp its China business. Big market, big challenges.
Huge market. Curious to see what they come up with. And Uber partnering with Turo? Rental cars through the Uber app? That's interesting. A bit of a surprise, actually.
Yeah, a little unexpected. But maybe a smart move for both companies. Expanding their reach, tapping into new markets. We'll see how it plays out. But that United Health investigation, though? Alleged Medicare fraud? That's a big deal.
Wow, lots of analyst activity today. Where do we even begin with all these upgrades and downgrades?
Well, that Fulcrum Therapeutics upgrade caught my eye. Cantor Fitzgerald bumping them to overweight with a $10 price target. That's a pretty significant jump.
Yeah, what's the story there?
Seems like positive sentiment around their gene therapy programs. Always a bit of a gamble in biotech, but upside potential could be substantial.
High risk, high reward. Got it. And what about those downgrades? Anything jump out?
CrowdStrike getting knocked down to neutral. Mizuho lowering their target to $425. Still a hefty price tag, but a sign of caution, perhaps?
Interesting. and Dick's Sporting Goods, another downgrade. TD Cowen lowering them to hold after that Foot Locker acquisition. Not surprising, given the market's reaction.
Yeah, definitely not. Investors seem skeptical about that deal. Big premium, integration risks, lots of uncertainty.
Makes sense. And on the initiation front, TD Cowen seems busy. Lots of bank stocks getting coverage.
Yeah, they initiated on a whole slew of them. Bank of America, Citizens Financial, Fifth Third, all with buy ratings. Bullish on the financial sector, it seems.
Interesting. Anything else catch your attention?
Well, that Guggenheim initiation on GeneDx with an $88 price target. Genomic space, always intriguing. And then there's Rubrik getting both a downgrade and an initiation. Mizuho lowering them to neutral, while Roth Capital initiates with a buy. Conflicting opinions, clearly.
Yeah, definitely a mixed bag there. So lots to digest, and looking ahead to tomorrow's economic data, housing starts, building permits, consumer sentiment, anything you're watching in particular?
Consumer sentiment, for sure. Seeing if that preliminary May number can build on April's improvement. A sign of increasing consumer confidence could be a good signal for the market. Plus, those housing numbers, always important for the overall economic picture. Should be an interesting day.
So we've got this WaveRider AI analysis for the SPY and QQQ, focusing on the 30-minute chart, right?
Right, and it's painting a picture of cautious optimism, wouldn't you say? Upward trends, but with weakening volume.
Yeah, that's the key takeaway for me. Like SPY closing above 590 is good, but that diminishing volume makes you wonder if it's sustainable.
Exactly. Same story with the QQQ, up around 519, but again, that volume drop is a yellow flag, almost like a lack of conviction.
I see. In the VXX, relatively stable, they say. So not much volatility to juice things up, huh?
Yeah, which is interesting. Could be interpreted as calm before the storm, or just a lack of strong directional bias. We need to see some volume come in to really confirm a move.
Got it. Now, sector-wise, XLK and XLV are the outperformers. Tech and healthcare, the usual suspects. But XLF and XLRE are lagging. Value in real estate, not so hot.
Makes sense, given the current market dynamics. Growth and defensives are in favor, while value and interest rate-sensitive sectors are taking a back seat. Classic rotation.
So key levels to watch. SPY support around 588, resistance at 592. QQQ support at 560-875, resistance at 522. Pretty tight ranges.
Yeah, not a lot of wiggle room. A breakout or breakdown could happen quickly. And the scenarios they outline? Bullish if economic data beats expectations and tech earnings surprise. Bearish if geopolitical tensions escalate or economic data disappoints.
Pretty standard scenarios, but important to keep in mind. And overall, cautious optimism, with tech and healthcare leading the charge. But watch that volume. That's the message I'm getting.
Absolutely. Now, there's also this other WaveRider analysis from yesterday. Taking a more macro view, cautiously bearish for today, with a slight selling bias. Interesting contrast, right? One focusing on short-term price action, the other on broader market sentiment.
Yeah, so how do we reconcile those two views?
Well, it highlights the importance of considering multiple time frames and perspectives. The short-term technicals might suggest a slight upward bias, but the broader market sentiment could be leaning bearish. It's a tug of war.
I see. And this second analysis mentions some key data points for tomorrow. PPI, retail sales, jobless claims, and so on. A lot to digest.
Definitely. Tomorrow's data could be a catalyst for a bigger move, one way or the other. So traders need to be prepared for anything. Stay nimble, watch those key levels, and manage risk. That's the name of the game.
So we've got a couple of WaveRider AI analyses here, both pointing towards potential breakouts, but with some underlying caution, right?
Yeah, exactly. The first one, focusing on continuations, highlights some interesting setups in ADP, VLO, and BLK. Solid growth, increasing volume, classic signs of bullish momentum. But
that broader market sentiment, with rising yields and overbought conditions, is giving you pause? I get it.
Precisely. Gotta manage risk carefully. Tight stops near support are crucial. No chasing weak sectors or names without volume confirmation. Discipline, discipline, discipline.
Right. And this second analysis, focusing on ANT's breakout, mentions a mixed bag of sector performances. Tech strong, semiconductors active, but financials with KSS and ODP seem more speculative.
Yeah, a bit more volatile, perhaps. News-driven, as they say. not the kind of steady momentum we're seeing in, say, ADP or VLO.
So, if we're looking for actionable trades, sticking with those continuation setups in the first analysis seems like the safer bet.
Probably. ADP, with support at 314 and resistance around 318-319.50, that's a pretty well-defined setup. VLO2 consolidating around 135.50, potential breakout to 137.75. Clear levels, clear targets, just gotta watch that volume.
And BLK, they mention a potential breakout above 989 if volumes remain high. Seems like a higher risk, higher reward play, given the overall market caution.
Definitely. Higher risk? Absolutely. But if the market holds up, financials could definitely see a boost. Just gotta be prepared for a quick exit if things turn south.
So MSFT is on the watch list for continuation and APLD for anticipation. Anything specific about those two?
Not in these analyses, unfortunately. Just listed as potential plays. We'd need more data, more analysis to really pinpoint entry and exit points.
Fair enough. So bottom line, cautious optimism, focusing on those continuation setups with strong momentum and volume confirmation. Tight stops, manage risk, and be prepared for anything. Sound about right?
Absolutely. The market's a tricky beast these days. Gotta stay nimble and disciplined, no room for complacency, and always, always have an exit strategy. That's key.
All right, so looking at this analysis, some interesting setups shaping up, yeah. Tech and energy, specifically.
Yeah, definitely. NVDA, MSFT, TSLA, those are the names everyone's watching. Big volume, big moves, classic momentum plays.
Right, NVDA especially. Semiconductor demand, AI hype, it's all fueling that surge. But what about the other sectors? Consumer discretionary, for example.
A bit more mixed there. W and SEZL, some interesting price action, but the volume's not as convincing. More cautious optimism, I'd say.
I see. And energy, still volatile, it seems.
Oh, absolutely. PBF, run, cyclical plays, sensitive to global market conditions. Got to be careful there. Manage risk, tight stops, and all that.
Got it. So if we're looking for actionable trades, NVDA, MSFT, and TSLA seem to be the top picks, yeah?
Yeah, those are the ones with the clearest bullish signals. Strong momentum, high volume, the whole nine yards. But run is interesting too. Recent rally, potential for more upside. Just gotta watch those global energy markets closely.
Okay, and what about specific entry and exit points? The analysis mentions some key levels.
Right, so for NVDA, support around 130.60, resistance at 136, then 137.50, looking for a breakout above 140. MSFT, support at 450, resistance at 460, then 462. TSLA, support at 338, resistance at 346, then 350.
Lots of numbers. But what's the overall strategy here? Buy the dips, sell the rips?
Essentially, yes. Look for entry points near support, ideally on minor pullbacks. Set tight stop losses to protect against downside risk and take profits near resistance, or if the momentum starts to fade.
Got it. So manage risk, be disciplined, and don't get greedy, the usual trading wisdom.
Exactly. The market's a tricky beast. Gotta stay nimble, adapt to changing conditions, and always, always have an exit strategy. That's key.
Great insights. Thanks for breaking it all down. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Next Day Prep. We'll be back tomorrow with more market analysis and trading ideas. Until then, happy trading and goodbye.
See you all tomorrow.